It's nice to be able to get into the pulpit and say it's a beautiful day, beautiful weather, and it seems we've been doing that for some little while now. We're going to worship the Lord and sing together 429, 429. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below, anywhere without him, dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not afraid. Let's all pray. Father, we thank thee for the house of God and for the opportunity for the church to gather like this during the week, to come to a midweek service where the word of God is opened and prayer is made, where we can enjoy fellowship with God himself. And that's our first and foremost desire tonight, to have that fellowship with thee. And then to blend in sweet fellowship with brethren and sisters of like precious faith. We thank thee for the things that we have in common. We bless thee that we've been to Jesus for the cleansing power. We're washed in the blood of the Lamb. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We belong to the greater family of God. We thank thee that we can read our titles clear to mansions in the sky. And one day we're going there to be with Christ, which is far better. As we approach thee now in prayer, we do so through the Lord Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and man. We thank thee that he accepts us on the grounds of his own merit. And we thank thee for the speaking blood of the Savior. And Lord, we thank thee that that blood is speaking for us now, speaking acceptance with God. And we thank thee that in this world, amidst all the conflict and the trials, the afflictions that come our way, we can say with the opening hymn, "Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go." We thank thee for the continual abiding presence of Christ, who has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And we believe with all of our hearts that you're with your people on earth, just as truly as when the Lord Jesus was here, present, physically, when he walked in this earth. Lord, you're still as near your people, beside them, to counsel them, to guide them, to support them, to protect them, as when you were here 2,000 years ago. Oh God, make us more conscious and sensible to the presence of our God, even now in this church building tonight, to know that God is here, watching on, fellowshipping with us, to cheer us in the Christian life, to instruct us in his word, to help us through every circumstance that we find ourselves in. Abide with your people. Come graciously near, especially when we come to the word of God tonight. Oh, we pray that the Bible reading and the exposition of it will be a blessing to this people and to those that are listening in on the internet. You know the needs of families that are in trouble, both here in the church family and further afield. We're not forgetful tonight of the Wagner family. And we think, Lord, of the funeral service on Saturday and how difficult it'll be for our brother John and his children and family circle. Lord, we just pray that great grace will be upon them, that the Lord will minister to them and comfort them. And those who have responsibility to say anything, especially in the ministry of the word, that they will be greatly helped by God. So meet with us now here in this church building tonight. Help us to worship thee with all of our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. Very warm word of welcome to you tonight in the Savior's name as you've come to worship with us this evening. And if you're listening in on Sermon Audio or Facebook or YouTube, we bid you welcome also. Tomorrow night is the Missionary Council meeting at 7:30, and we have one of the Kenyan pastors linking up with us, Pastor Andrew Cheptu. This coming Saturday, as I indicated in prayer, is the funeral service of Mrs. Kim Wagner, and that will take place at Faith Free Presbyterian Church at 11 o'clock. That's 4 p.m. our time, and it's going to be broadcast live in sermon audio. Some of you might wish to listen into that. So remember, Saturday at 4 o'clock. The prayer meeting is on the Lord's Day morning at 8 a.m. The Sunday school will be meeting as they make their final preparations for Children's Day. They'll be meeting at 10:30. The Bible class will be on Zoom at 10:30. And our Children's Day will take place at our regular services, 12, noon, and 7. Do remember Christina as she comes to speak to the children. And remember the children as they take part. We want them to be a blessing, even as we listen to our Sunday school children. There will be a special offering on the Lord's Day for Sunday school equipment, and this will be to provide monitors in each of the Sunday school classrooms. So I want you to remember that. These monitors will be approximately £250 each. We hope maybe to get them a bit less than that, but I think that the teachers have benefited over the past number of months during lockdown and since then, coming to the church and having all the IT equipment been very beneficial for them. So when they prepare their lessons, they can do that on their phones or their iPads, whatever they might have. But this will allow them to project it to the children, and it'll be a very simple means to use. And of course, children are used to all this IT now at school and in their homes. So remember that, please, as we come to the offering. All the loose offering will go to this project. We're asking you to remember the 70th anniversary services. So the following Lord's Day, the 27th of June, we're going to be looking back with thankfulness at the 12 noon service here. And we're going to do that with the help of Sadie and Robert McCauley. So we're looking forward to them. They will be telling us a little bit about the past as they remember it. Sadie was there as a small child, and Robert then came along in due time, but they have good memories of the history of our church, and we look forward to them participating. We're hoping to go to Cabra at 7. You may have seen this. It'll certainly be sent to you so that you have a copy of it to share, whether it's by text or other means of social media, to get it out to folks, especially those that have been connected to us in 70 years. Invite them to come to Cabra that night. And there will be a special preparation day on Saturday the 26th, all being well, just to get things ready out there at Cabra. So if you can help with that, we'll be able to give you details, God willing, on the Lord's Day. We'll also have a special anniversary offering at both of the services. And that will be at the door as usual and probably at the gate going out for the evening service. Thank you for your tithes and offerings. Do remember the quarterly magazine that is now available from Let the Bible Speak. And make sure you have a copy. 444 is the next hymn that we're going to sing. Fear not, I am with thee. Blessed golden ray, like a star of glory, lighting up my way. Through the clouds of midnight, this bright promise shone. I will never leave thee, never will leave thee alone. Verse 2.
Thank you.
Let's open our Bibles to Genesis 37, Genesis chapter 37, and then we're going to read some verses from chapter 39. Verse 1 of Genesis 37. Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and my mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them." And he said unto him, "Here am I." And he said to him, "Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again." So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" And he said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." And the man said, "They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan." And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams." Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again." And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, Let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Chapter 39, in verse 1, Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him off the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. In the next few verses, you read about the temptation. We'll come back to that in a little while. We'll go down to verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. We'll end the reading there at the end of the chapter 39. And we know that the Lord will bless it to our hearts. Anyone that has been in the Bible class will have an advantage because we're going to speak tonight on Joseph. We want to speak on the presence of God in dark providence. And the little text that I want to emphasize all the way through the message is what we have there at the beginning of verse 21 of chapter 39. But the Lord was with Joseph. And that's very important for us as God's people to realize and understand. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Father, may we take this truth in. We've read these chapters undoubtedly many times. Bible class members have listened to sermons, messages on the life of Joseph in recent days. We've studied through these things ourselves, and we've often thought about all that befell this young man. And yet there was that overruling providence in his life, guiding, directing, superintending, bringing him to the place where he finally ended up as the governor in the land of Egypt. Father, we just pray for help now in our meditation, that you'll speak to our hearts and do us good in your word tonight. And may we leave having benefited, having listened to what God is saying in his word. We pray that there will be many things that we remember, but Lord, we want to remember especially the text, but the Lord was with Joseph, and get the application to our own hearts that the Lord is with us too. Hear this, our prayer, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Joseph was the favored son of his father Jacob. There was undoubtedly outstanding qualities in the life of this young man that made him stand out among all his brethren. We're told in verse 3 of chapter 37, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his brethren." And you'll ask the reason why? Well, the immediate phrase gives at least one of the reasons, maybe the main reason why, because he was the son of his old age. You know how youngest children can be specially favored. If you have more than one in the family, you know how when the last one comes, that one can be very much loved, very much endeared to the heart of parents, and they can be spoilt maybe more than any of the other children. Well, that's Joseph. We know that Joseph was a good man, a good young man. He didn't get up to the things that his other brothers did. We know that he brought an evil report concerning the things that they were doing, their behavior, but Joseph was not like these other men. We know that he was also a godly young man, a lad with integrity and honesty and piety, and that made him stand out. That made him shine in the family. I was just quoting John last night when we had our session and committee meeting, how John said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." And for any parent, and we can say that that was so for Jacob, he had no greater joy than to watch on and to look at young Joseph growing up and walking in the truth of Almighty God. As Jacob watched on, he was delighted in what he saw. Joseph's brothers despised him. They hated him. They envied him. They wanted rid of him, and such was their sinful anger against their young brother, who, by the way, should have been loved, protected, defended, and supported. They were prepared to murder him. And this would have happened if it had not been for the intervention of Reuben, who suggested to cast him into the pit. Reuben had a plan to rescue his young brother and to return him to his father. However, during his absence, Judah devised another plan to save his life. Obviously, he didn't know what Reuben had planned, but Judah's plan was to sell him to the Ishmaelites. That was his proposal. And they did so for 20 pieces of silver. You know the false and the evil story that they brought back to their father Jacob when they took his coat and they dipped it in the blood of the animal and made it out as if he was killed by wild animals. The Ishmaelites brought him down to Egypt, where he is resold into the house of Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officers, the captain of the guard. And so continues a story of providential mercy in the life of one who seemed to be so maligned, so mismanaged, so misrepresented, and so maltreated. Through it all, in what became years, when Joseph was separated from a father's love and protection and thought dead, there was a sovereign God who was in absolute control of Joseph's affairs, who was working providentially, miraculously, and supremely behind the scenes for his own glory and for the good of Joseph. That's how God always works, for his glory and for the good of his people. In fact, not only for Joseph's good, but for the good of the whole family. You know the story, how it unfolds. Written across this story of providential goodness are the words of Romans 8 and 28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The Old Testament Joseph is proving the New Testament promise that was not written yet and would not be written for nearly 18 centuries, but was as true in Joseph's life as if it was a promise that was especially given to him. We never read of one complaint or murmur or accusation or angry word against God. No, not like his descendants, the children of Israel, who did nothing but complain in their hard circumstances in the wilderness. Joseph never said, "Why am I hated? Why am I despised? Why am I envied? Why am I conspired against? Why am I thrown into a pit? Why am I sold as a slave? Why am I removed from a father's love? Why am I taken from my country? Why am I sold into Egypt? Why am I falsely accused? Why am I thrown into prison? Why am I forgotten about? That certainly is something to aim at by the grace of God in all of our lives. And for us to prove also Romans 8:28, that all things work together for our good because we love the Lord and we are His called people, called according to His purpose. In every situation of Joseph's journey, in the ups and the downs, especially the downs, the key truth and reality is what is found in our text. But the Lord was with Joseph. What more could we desire? What more could we seek after? What more could we experience? The unfailing presence of God is guaranteed to the believing, faithful, obedient, serving people of God today, whatever our circumstances might be, in days of trouble and adversity. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. So you think of the precious words of Isaiah 43:2. In periods of suffering and sorrow, the Lord is nigh. He's near. He's right beside. His presence is there. Unto them that are of a broken heart. When the two travelers on the Emmaus Road had hearts that were heavy and sad, Jesus Himself drew near and He went with them. His presence was there. In times of gospel work and Christian service, the presence of the Lord is there. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And that's how the Gospel of Matthew ends. Precious way to end any book, given in the light of the Great Commission to go into the world and teach the nations. In seasons of prayer and supplication, He's there. Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. I just want to remind you folks tonight, no matter where you are, what you're passing through, how difficult your circumstances might be, God is with you to preserve you, to protect you, to comfort you, and console you, and to bring you through. And so that's the thought tonight as we think of our text. The presence of God, especially in dark providence. I want you to see, first of all, that God was with Joseph in family tribulation. Now, your family trouble may not be exactly the same experience as that of Joseph, but the application is exactly the same for you. Whatever the trouble that you're facing or will have to face at a future time within your family, the Lord is there. Here's a young 17-year-old teenager, the baby of the family who deserved the love and protection of his siblings, but did not enjoy that blessing. And this is what the Bible says about him. Here's the statements that we have read tonight. Chapter 37:4, they hated him. Same verse, they could not speak peaceably unto him. Verse 5, they hated him yet the more. And that's repeated again in the 8th verse, they hated him yet the more. Verse 11, his brethren envied him. Verse 18, they conspired against him to slay him. Verse 20, this is what they say, let us slay him and cast him into some pit. Verse 23, they stripped Joseph of his coat, out of his coat. Verse 24, they took him and cast him into a pit. Verse 27, come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Verse 28, they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites. And verse 31, they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid. At least a dozen wicked, negative, terrible things are recorded in these words. How Joseph's brothers sinfully and shamefully treated him. And yet, undoubtedly, written across every line that I've just read to you
are the words of our text. But the Lord was with Joseph, and thus Joseph's life was preserved and protected through it all. In the journey of life, we may expect to face family crises of different kinds. And as I've said tonight, maybe not the exact same crisis as Joseph. But whatever the trial, whatever the trouble, we are assured of the presence of the same God. The Lord is with us. Then I want you to notice, secondly, that God was with Joseph in female accusation. In the home of Potiphar, everything blossomed so well. Finally, after a horrendous experience caused by his brothers, despite the fact that he was removed from his father that loved and cared for him, there was a ray of hope. There was a period of blessing and prosperity. Just you look back again at chapter 39 and verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph found grace in his sight, served him. He made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. These are amazing words. Things are now seeming to be turning out so well for Joseph. A wonderful experience and a wonderful providence that the Lord has brought him now into. However, these days of blessing were short-lived. Dark providence overtakes him again. And we read that little phrase in the next verse, in verse 7, and it came to pass after these things. After these things. What? The blessing of God now in the home of Potiphar, and how Joseph's getting on so well, put in charge of the whole household and everything, even in the field, doing so well after these things, after this period of blessing. Undoubtedly, Joseph was a good, attractive, and handsome young man. He was also a godly, pure, honorable young man. And he would not sin against God. That was his first thought. And he would not sin against the wife of his employer either. We know what she tried to do. We know the test. We know the temptation. We know the persistence of this woman, how she came day by day, wanting Joseph to lie with her, to do something that the commandments of God had forbidden. But godly Joseph was determined, and he was resolute in his God-fearing convictions. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That's what he said. His sin ultimately would be against God. If he had have succumbed to this sin, he would have sinned against the woman, he would have sinned against her husband, he would have sinned against that family, he would have sinned against his religion, he would have sinned against himself. But ultimately, as all sin is, he would sin against God. And he says, I can't do it. She not only persisted in her tempting words, but there came a moment when she physically insisted, laid hold upon him. Bible says that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But the Lord was with Joseph and gave him the grace and the wisdom and the sense to get out of there. And he did. He fled. Will there not be seasons of temptation for the Christian today? Of course there will be. Satan's the grand tempter. It was so from the beginning. When he said to Eve, eat of this fruit and you'll become like God. You'll have knowledge like the Most High. There will be temptation. There will be temptation as we have it here to sexual sin. As it was for Joseph, he got the victory. As it was for David and Solomon and others, and they didn't get the victory. There will be temptation to worldly pleasure and enjoyment. Lot, to the fertile fields, and to Sodom's comforts and positions. Achan, to get the rich quick enticement of expensive clothes and silver and gold. Moses, to be Pharaoh's successor, to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season and possess the treasures of Egypt, which he refused. Even in God's work, there will be temptation. Temptation for position and power. James and John wanted to sit on either side of Christ in the eternal kingdom. Remember the Lord said, is there something that you desire? He says, well, Lord, you know, in that glory experience that we're heading towards, can you grant us that we'll sit on either side of you? My brother will sit on one side, I'll sit on the other. The Lord said, well, it's not for me to give that. But sometimes people want to be elevated as James and John were. But if the Lord is with you and you have developed a constant, sweet, and blessed enjoyment of his presence in your daily walk, then he will give you the needed strength and grace to overcome in the time of temptation. It will be said of you, but the Lord was with him. The Lord was with her. You will be more than a conqueror. You will be an overcomer through him. God was with Joseph in female accusation. Thirdly, God was with Joseph in a fettered incarceration. Joseph's put into prison for a crime he never committed. The particular prison is described in chapter 39 and verse 20. Joseph's master took him, put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. It was the worst kind of prison to be in. And this is where Joseph ends up. However, you want to mark the very next line of the story. It's our text. But the Lord was with Joseph, showed him mercy, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. You might be accused falsely, like Joseph was. Stories might be told of you that are not true, or maybe highly exaggerated. People may turn against you. They may even seek your demise and your downfall. In extreme cases, you might face courts and fines and imprisonments and so forth. But the Lord is with you, and he will overrule, and he will undertake, and he will carry you through, as he did with Joseph, because the Lord was with him. Then I want to say in the fourth place that God was with Joseph in a forgotten situation. Chapter 40 outlines the prison story of the butler and the baker. Joseph interprets their dreams by the wisdom and knowledge of God. Pharaoh's chief baker would be released from prison, but he would be released to die. However, his chief butler would be reinstated to office, and he would return to serving the king. Joseph was the bearer of glad tidings to the butler, and he gave him one simple little instruction, just a kind of favor, small favor. And you have that recorded in chapter 40 and verse 14. But think on me when it's well with thee. Whenever you get out of prison, you remember me. He says, show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. Make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Now, Joseph's predictions came to pass. The baker was released, and he was hanged. He died. The butler was restored to kingly service. But see how the chapter of this story ends in verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. How easy it is to forget the people that have been kind to you. that have helped you, that have given you wise and encouraging counsel. Joseph is totally forgotten by this man. And yet we know there is still a line written over this disappointing incident, but the Lord was with Joseph. God had not forgotten him in prison. He was still working out his sovereign will and providence in all that was happening in Joseph's life, including this prison time. The Lord was with him. And the Lord will be with you too, even when others forget what you've done for them or never repay a favor that they should have repaid. The Lord will always remember you because the Lord is there. I want to end tonight on a bright note. God was with Joseph in fruitful vindication, because the story ends well, as the story always ends well for God's servants, if not in this life, in the life to come. But very often in this life, the Lord's blessing is upon his people. Joseph is eventually called from prison, where he interprets the dreams of King Pharaoh, which ultimately led to the unbelievable promotion of Joseph from a slave to a supreme ruler. He became the prime minister of Egypt. And this took 14 years. 14 years of trial, tribulation, and trouble. But all things were working together for good. Even though Joseph probably couldn't see it at the time, couldn't interpret the providence of God on many of those situations that we've read about and that we've quoted to you tonight, yet God's plan was coming together. Joseph was set over the land of Egypt. He became a human savior to the Egyptian world. Pharaoh gave him a special name, Zaphnath-Paneah, the word that means, and some of you should know this, I preached on it a few years ago, a word that means the savior of the world. And that's what he became. He oversaw the plentiful harvest of 7 years when all was well. He gathered in the corn to the great storehouses, and then the 7 years of famine came. And Joseph oversaw the distribution of that food. And when the people of the land cried to Pharaoh, Pharaoh told them, "Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do." And he became the savior in this sense of Egypt and the nations round about, including his own family who came down to Egypt to buy corn. It's an amazing story of divine providence. It took 22 years to get to the place of great blessing, to see God's plan unfold, indeed to see his own dreams that he had dreamt come true. This story is a commentary on Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And it all comes down to the fact that is declared in our text, but the Lord was with Joseph. God is working something in your life, even in the dark days, in those situations that you can't fully understand, when that dark providence just comes upon you, your family, your circumstances. God is still working out something in your life for your good and for his own great glory. It'll always be so. We have a banner hanging in our home. My wife was just reminding me of it today. Some of you may have these words in your home. It's a kind of a tapestry, and it's called Just a Weaver. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle cease to fly, shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He gives the very best to those who choose to walk with him. Joseph chose to walk with God. And brethren and sisters, the Lord was with him. And as we walk with God, the Lord will be with us in every situation and circumstance that he brings our way. Let's pray. Father, we're glad that we're in the weaver's hand. We're glad that there's sovereign, supreme, providential workings in our lives, bringing all the threads together, making us into that vessel that God wants us to be. We thank thee for the truth of Romans 8:28, that the all things do work together for good to them that love thee. And Father, we pray that we will be conscious every day, wherever we are, whatever our circumstances might be, that the Lord is with us and he's there to carry us through. Oh, write your word upon our hearts. Help us to remember the text for Jesus' sake. Amen. These are the matters that we want covered tonight in prayer. Remember the work of God here. You're familiar with the slide, but can I draw attention to the children, as it is Children's Sunday, really, Children's Day, this Sabbath, that you'll pray very, very especially for them. Some of them will take part. Word of God will be presented. Some extra folks may be in, parents, family members. Among them, unconverted, that we want to hear the message. You pray, please, for Children's Day. The sick and the needy, this is the list, please, to remember. We have on the slide Children's Day and the 70th anniversary day on the 27th of June, the following week. So we're asking you to remember that. I want you to remember the Carmichael School. We told you last Sabbath they got a site, they got 10,000 bricks, they may have got more delivered. No time wasted this week. Straight into the work, the building work. You can see our sister Deep there, and it's above head height for her, although I believe that quite a bit of that will be underground eventually. So it must be build the foundation and then put in the rest, I'm not sure.
Our building boundary wall is near about complete.
She calls this the boundary.
Work is daily start and they are all working daily. And
so they've been working every day on that project. This was the congregation, different slides, and I showed you these ones were sent to me of the people that I had the opportunity to speak to last Lord's Day. We have mentioned the city of Lahore, and we have two men there, John and David, who are preaching the word and helping, of course, with the poor in their particular city. The moderator of the church in Nepal sent me these photographs as the aid continues to go out. This is the emergency aid fund that our churches have sent contributions to, helping with those that have been shut in and locked in because of the virus especially. So it's all quite laborious work as they carry it. The understanding is they brought it to this location and they're carrying it to a home where people will come from the hills round about, from the church families, and they will receive them some help.
So these are some of the folks that came to get distribution, to receive that which was being given out in the land of Nepal. I'm always amazed how they carry these things on their shoulders, or sometimes it's the neck and the head that's bearing the weight, as you see with this man. And just today, I got some photographs just before the meeting tonight, the Bicycle Project for the Poor and the Roma Children. And these are some of the bikes that they've been able to purchase secondhand. And there's Pastor Sabine. So we pray together, folks that seek the Lord. I'm going to leave it open. I have prayed already in the opening prayer and prayed a couple of times since. So I'm going to leave it open now. We don't want hesitation or waiting. We want the Lord's people just to pray and remember some of these things. Pray over the message. Let's be thankful the Lord is with us. We're passing through a hard time. If you know of someone in that place, pray for them tonight, that the Lord will be there in his mercy. Remember Noreen. Noreen is still with us for a little while, but she will have to return eventually to Emmanuel Christian School.
Thank you, Lord, even most of all tonight for the glorious gospel, and even, Lord, how it's touched our lives. And we thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for ever setting your love upon us. We thank you when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made unto the law, to redeem them who were under the law, that we might receive the redemption or the adoption of sons. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We thank you for your grace and your love and your favour, even to thy dear people. We just pray, Lord, that you, even tonight as we come together to pray, we thank you, Lord, for what unites us. We thank you for that precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for this church. We thank you, Lord, for the good, the heritage that you've handed down to us. We thank you for a place that preaches the gospel. We thank you for a pastor who loves the Bible. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that he's able to open up the scriptures, Lord, and preach the word without fear of man. We just pray, Lord, even for the services that will be conducted even at the weekend. We just pray, Lord, you will bless there. We think especially of the children. We thank you, Lord, for that Children's Day. We just pray, Lord, that you will bring in many of the parents, Lord, and that, Lord, they will hear the word of God once again. We pray for the boys and girls as well. And Lord, even as Christina comes to speak, Lord, we pray you'll take her up and use her, fill her with thy spirit. And Lord, as she speaks to the boys and girls, we pray that their hearts will be touched, and that even they will come and put their faith and their trust in thee. We thank, Lord, of even families that are going through difficult times, which have been brought to our attention even tonight, Lord, of the trials and the burdens of life. And yet, Lord, the comfort we have that you're always with us. And, oh God, we just pray for those within our church family that are going through a trying time. We just pray, Lord, that you will bless them and, Lord, comfort their hearts. Lord, that they'll be very conscious of the loving arms of a Savior round about them. We thank, Lord, of those, Lord, that are sick. We pray for Ruth's mum as she goes into hospital tomorrow. We pray you'll bless her, bless Dorothy. We pray, Lord, that even as tests are done, Lord, that you will give those that would conduct them wisdom to know even what to do. And just pray, Lord, even for others. We think of Moira, and we think of Nigel, we think of Sean, we think of think of even our brother Lindsay Wilson, Lord, we remember him. There's so many others, Lord, that are going through difficult times. Think of Chrissy Blair as well, Lord. Just pray, Lord, that you'll keep your good hand upon them and raise them up to a full measure of health and strength.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, even for all your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for Noreen tonight. We thank you, Lord, for bringing her into our midst. We thank you for her faithful service over many years. We pray even for the land of Uganda. We pray for Andy and Hannah and wee Rachel over there. We pray, Lord, you'll bless them and undertake for them. And, O God, we pray that even very soon, Lord, this lockdown will lift, and even that the boys and girls will get back to school just as normal. We pray, Lord, you will bless the work over there. Bless each missionary, Lord, that has left home and country. We pray, Lord, that you'll give them even fruit for their labour. Lord, we just pray, Lord, even for us individually as believers, Lord, that you'll touch each one of our hearts. And Lord, even give us a mission field on our doorstep, Lord, that we can reach those that we come in contact with the gospel. Help us to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We pray this in thy precious name.
Amen.
And to mention to you also that Charlotte Dixon is being buried tomorrow. The funeral service is in the morning at the Martyrs at 11:30. So remember Anna and remember that family circle, George and his loved ones, that the Lord will be with them, particularly tomorrow. Thank you. Here.
Again, thank you for thy word to our hearts and souls this evening. And as we have considered somewhat of the life of Joseph, we have been able to reflect upon those times in our own experience, those dark times, those difficult times, those times when it would seem as though the heavens were as brass, and yet what man meant for our bad, God meant for our good. And Father in heaven, we thank thee that thou didst never leave us and thou didst never forsake us, though perhaps we may have been far away from thee. We rejoice, Lord, that thou didst time and time again come after us. And Lord, we just pray for any who may be experiencing difficult days and dark times, even at this very hour, that thou wilt draw graciously near, that they might know that underneath and round about are the everlasting arms. And Lord, we pray that when it will all come to pass, they'll be able to see the finger of God in it all. And so, Lord, we just look to thee this night, that thou wilt comfort and console thy people, and grant that thou wilt be pleased to bless. We do think of the Children's Day services ahead of us. And Lord, we do pray for the boys and the girls that as they come along this Lord's Day, and as they will recite the things that they have committed to memory, we pray that you'll bring in the mums and dads, the grannies and granddads. Grant that the Spirit of God may move upon this meeting and bring salvation. We pray, Heavenly Father, that it might please thee to write new names in the Lamb's Book of Life. We pray for the boys and girls that you will save them early in life and make them winners of precious souls. I do pray for our pastor as he will bring the word in season, and for Christina as she will speak to the boys and girls, that thou wilt be pleased to bless them both. And so, Lord, we look to thee. We thank thee for thy great goodness. We thank thee for the very day and for the very hour when thou didst save us by thy grace. And Lord, we pray that you will continue to refine us and make us meet for the Master's use. We might be able to do exploits for God in the days which lie ahead. We pray, Lord, for personal revival, that thou wilt come upon us in a special way, in a new way. Do something for us, Lord, that you've never done for us heretofore. We pray, Lord, that the fragrance of the gospel and the fragrance of Christ might be seen in the lives that we live before our fellow men. That Christ might be seen in me, the hope of glory. So, Lord, bless us and undertake for us. We think of those of our friends and loved ones and work colleagues who we commune with day by day. And Lord, we do pray that the life that we live before them might bear testimony to the saving and keeping power of the Lord Jesus in these lives that we live before them. So Lord, do bless us. Again, Lord, we think of the sick of the fellowship. We pray for Nigel, that thou wilt undertake for him, raise him to a full measure of health and of strength. Restore him, we pray. And grant that thou wilt bless Sharon and Sophie also. Keep thy hand upon them for good. Think of our brother Sean, Lord. Undertake for him also and bless him with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Lord, we just ask of thee that thou wilt again continue to bless our family circles. We're conscious of those within our families that know not Christ as Lord and Savior. And what a burden it places upon these hearts and souls of ours. Lord, we ask that thou wilt reveal thyself unto the unsaved members of our family, and grant that they might put their faith and trust in the one who loved them and gave himself for them. For we ask it in the Saviour's name. Lord, we do pray in closing for Anna and Curry tomorrow, and the rest of the family circle as they gather, Lord, for that funeral service undertaken for them, we pray. We think of George and his family circle. Do bless them, Lord. And for our brother Wagner on Saturday, and for his family also, we just commit and we commend them to thee. Give them the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. For we ask these things in the Saviour's name.
Let's sing together, "I must have the Saviour with me, or I dare not walk alone. I must feel his presence near me and his arm around me thrown. Then my soul shall fear no ill. Let him lead me where he will. I will go without a murmur, and his footsteps follow still." Father, as thou wast with Joseph, so you're with your people today. And I must have him with me. Oh, we pray that we'll take the sweet abiding presence of Christ with us from this service, and that we will rejoice in the hours of this day that still remain in the wonderful presence of our wonderful Lord. And every day make us so conscious of that. Dismiss us now in your fear and love, for Jesus' sake. Amen.